Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, I'm going to start with this kind of lengthy story, but it definitely deserves to be in the Bizarre File. A self-published romance novelist who allegedly died in 2020 has announced her return to life, writing, and Facebook.
What a turnaround.
It's been 2.5 years since the book community mourned the loss of Susan Meechan. And on her Facebook page, family members said the author had died by suicide and blamed bullying within the romance writing community. The 2020 ordeal sparked crowdfunding campaigns for funeral expenses, donations to suicide prevention groups, and even editing Meechan's final work for free. This week, her Facebook account made a post in the private Facebook group for authors that she ran announcing her return.
I'm back!
Ever since her death, Meechan's Facebook account and group called The Ward maintained a niche following. Meechan's daughter, or someone claiming to be her daughter, has been running the group and Meechan's main profile since. Before her death announcement, she had published more than a dozen books on The Ward. Fellow self-published authors discussed her books along with their own. Now, she calls herself an author of perfectly flawed romances with books including Special Delivery, His Wicked Way.
And I Lied About Dying.
Yeah, and Losing Him and Finding You. Her latest book, called Love to Last a Lifetime, published in 2020, was framed as her last work and a wedding present to her daughter. Following her death, friends edited the book for free. A separate romance novel anthology was published after her announced death with a dedication to her. So on Twitter, users shared screenshots of Meechan's announcement that she was still alive. The post has been viewed at least 3 million times now.
That's insane.
Her announcement had said, verbatim, "I debated on how to do this a million times and still not sure if it's right or not. There's going to be tons of questions, a lot of people leaving the group, I'd guess.
It's not right.
But my family did what they thought was best for me, and I can't fault them for it. I almost died again at my own hand. And they had to go through all that hell again.
No one would have believed it.
Returning to The Ward doesn't mean much, but I am in a good place now, and I'm hoping to write again. Let the fun begin."
Is there a protocol for a reveal party when you're revealing you're alive?
So then followers began questioning her, writing about where the money raised for her funeral actually went. Was all this a trick for a posthumous book sales surge? How could she live with the blame that was placed on other authors accused of bullying her? So fellow romance author Samantha Cole said in a Facebook post that she was horrified, stunned, and livid.
"I'm going to kill her."
She felt like she had been kicked in the gut and the chest at the same time. Cole has publicly addressed facing bullying herself from members of the literary community after Meechan's death. Fans of Meechan harassed other authors, blaming them for Meechan's death. So in a separate Facebook post, author Karen Hall said what Meechan did was unforgivable. She said, I can forgive many things, but I don't think I can ever forgive you faking your death. So the story is still unfolding since the announcement. Theories have bubbled up suggesting that the author was hiding in plain sight. Some people say she was still working on the Facebook group and all that
stuff.
So
she was doing all of that.
Well, that's what about she may have been.
Personal documentation, like her, you know, all of those things that we use for ID, what?
Or when somebody dies, there's official...
Or your taxes.
Record keeping. So that's a good question. So the skepticism on Twitter is quite palpable, but Meechan did not respond to any requests for comments. So I'm curious as to what the next statement will
be. She disconnected the phone in her coffin.
A circus performer was seriously injured Wednesday evening after falling up to 15 meters while performing a stunt. But he's no longer in life-threatening danger. The accident happened during the Wheel of Death Act as part of the Christmas circus. He fractured several ribs, was still evaluated to be determined if he suffered other injuries. He was in a great deal of pain. The circus said he was going to be examined for internal injuries and fractures. And his first words were, in a brief statement on Thursday morning.
"One's for yes, two for no."
A brief statement. Do you feel okay? Okay.
No.
He's good.
Bad.
He's one for...
Two's no.
No, he doesn't.
Two for no. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. All right.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Can we get it? Would you like a cocktail? Okay. In a brief update Thursday morning, the circus said
several, like a magic eight ball.
Several rib fractures were found during a checkup. The organization added, "We do not yet know everything." The circus director said that he's been with the circus for about 10 years or so. And there were many people in the audience at the time when that happened. So, a Florida home was doused with gasoline on New Year's Day and set ablaze with 21 people locked inside of it.
Whoa!
Four were hurt as a group scrambled
to
escape through windows. A motive has not yet been released. Upon arrival, deputies learned prior to the fire, one man was wielding a machete inside the residence and threatening to kill people inside. He then began pouring gasoline through the residence while the second suspect set the fuel on fire. The two then left the residence, locking the door behind them. All 21 people trapped inside escaped. Details of how the four were injured have not been released, but investigators say they sustained injuries as a result of the fire.
Did he mention whether they were watching Seacrest or Cooper?
Oh, you know what? They didn't. Two suspects, maybe they were watching Miley and Dolly.
We got a burn.
That was in Florida.
Two suspects, age 42 and 63, were arrested during a search of the neighborhood. Both men are charged with arson and three counts of aggravated battery. And then we'll do one more story and wrap up. Let me see if I got a quicker one here. How about, that was a little too intense. Okay, here we go. A woman is trying to find a teddy bear's original owner after discovering a person's ashes were inside the stuffed animal. Vicky Wise said she was driving through a neighborhood when her daughter noticed a stuffed bear sitting in a pile of garbage. Wise said that they picked up the stuffed animal for her dog. After picking up the toy, they discovered a Velcro pouch in the bear's back. Inside a pouch was a heart-shaped box with a person's ashes inside of it.
Can you do that at Build-A-Bear?
I don't know. maybe.
Do you want to cremate a loved one?
She said, I just couldn't believe that.
We can give you a diploma?
Something like that in a trash bin. It was startling. On the back of the box was a name. It was Barry Freed.
Barry.
A note attached to the box said the person passed away in May of 2020.
And wanted to spend eternity inside a stuffed bear.
Wise explained that a quick internet search of the person's name did not give her many results. And now she's doing everything she can to find the original owner. She said, I don't know who he is. All I know is his name and the date he passed away. So
I'd love to hear why that happened.
Yeah, they'll probably end up being able to track that down.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the Bizarre File podcast.
Some people enjoy a drink or two while hanging out with their friends, but a group of American YouTubers' drunken antics at the Night Safari have made Singaporeans a little bit upset.
The group,
known as Four Fun Guys on social media, uploaded a TikTok video of their wild night out on October 26th. The clip surfaced on the video sharing platform last week. Four Funny Guys have over a million subscribers on YouTube, by the way. In the TikTok video, the young men are seen purchasing bottles of soju from a convenience store and then downing their drinks before they head to the Night Safari where they boarded the tram. Although it's not known what time they arrived at the party, the video caption said that one of the men, Johnny, jumped off the tram at 2 a.m. The group then wandered around on their own in a safari.
Yes.
And even entered an animal enclosure to pet a sleeping wallaby. One of the men also tried to lure a hyena with a potato chip. These friends may have had fun that night, but Netsians didn't seem too amused by what they did.
The hyena could have ripped them apart.
Mandai Wildlife Group said on Tuesday that the acts of trespassing and then intent to disrespect or endanger the animals are viewed seriously, and they have since lodged a police report. The group reassured members of the public that the affected animals in the video are well and thanked Netsians for calling out the perpetrators online, as the actions in the video could lead to irresponsible behaviors that put perpetrators in danger, of course. In 2020, a 19-year-old had entered that same zoo, but at the rhino enclosure. No, this is at the Singapore Zoo, and then performed a backflip in front of the animals.
They're funny guys.
Isn't that fun? Yeah. And by the way, in Singapore, they don't mess around with you.
They do not.
Breaking the law.
They caned a guy for gum.
Yeah. An Irish national is facing drug charges in Australia after allegedly importing about 4.5 ounces of cocaine inside 6 internally concealed Kinder Surprise capsules.
In the bud.
Yeah, and these are the Kinder Surprise milk chocolate eggs.
Yeah.
And inside of those are non-edible yellow capsules, which each contain a plastic toy.
Jeez.
The man was taken to a hospital for a CAT scan after he was stopped by the Australian Border Force when his baggage allegedly returned a positive result for the presence of cocaine.
Up my butt.
The 28-year-old later excreted the capsules containing the cocaine. Officials charged the man with importing a marketable quantity of border-controlled drug.
He also had a hyena up his ass present.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Is that guy, he was coming from Singapore.
From Singapore.
Well, a passenger on the surviving aircraft involved in a Gold Coast helicopter tragedy tried to alert their pilot of the incoming chopper seconds before its rotor hit the copter window.
Did you see the footage?
I did.
It is horrifying.
Oh, man.
New footage reveals a passenger in the back seat of the descending chopper repeatedly tapping the shoulder of pilot Michael James in an apparent panic, warning of the ascending helicopter that was moving toward it.
Yeah.
So he's like tapping the guy on the shoulder going, hey, there's a helicopter coming.
And the pilot is talking to the person next to him in the, I guess, the passenger seat, which you'd call, and like pointing out things. And the guy's like,
How many survivors?
In the helicopter where the footage was filmed, five people, including James, were injured by broken glass. Four people died, and three others were seriously injured in the other helicopter. So in the one that you see the video footage of, they all lived.
Wow.
But the other people all died.
Because it broke off one of the blades.
The rotors, yeah. The descending chopper featured in the footage managed to land on the sandbank despite having major damage to its front windscreen, which is hit by the rotor of the other aircraft. The other SeaWorld chopper taking off plunge to the ground. Pilot Ashley Jenkinson, Ron and Diane Hughes, Vanessa Tedros all died in the collision. Tedros' 10-year-old son, Nicholas, was on life support. So,
exactly. Horrible.
It was a tragedy. It's pretty messed up, too, man. Residents of a Colorado mountain town are struggling to coexist with mountain lions that have hunted more than a dozen of their pet dogs in the past 2 months.
Yeah.
Wildlife officials have received 10 reports of 12 dogs being killed or attacked in Nederland since November 1st, with one report involving three dogs. Nederland is nestled within the mountains of Colorado's Front Ridge.
So one cougar had a three-dog night.
Yeah, there you go. In early December, pet owners were desperate for help after nine dogs were killed or taken since August. Wildlife officials held community discussions to share tips on how to keep pets safe, but the attacks continued. Pet owners have logged encounters on a digital tracker cobbled together by locals that shows where and when the attacks or close calls have occurred, as well as the nature of the incidents.
Cougars are going to do that.
Some of the most recent entries describe mountain lions trying to snatch a dog off a porch, a lion killing three dogs despite the owner trying to defend them, two dogs disappearing one after another from the same area, and one particularly chilling entry said a mountain lion took a 100-pound Doberman and took the dog over a fence at the in the evening. So they're powerful creatures.
Nederland is a really cool little town in Colorado, and they have this thing every year called Frozen Dead Guy Days, and there's a whole backstory behind it. But basically, they celebrate Frozen Dead Guy. There's Frozen Dead Guy ice cream. There used to be this dude who was on display. There was, like, this cryogenic story.
I remember that.
And so they have that every year. And, so if you're ever in Nederland, look out for the mountain lions, but check out Frozen Dead Guy.
All right.
Maybe they can feed the live feeding frozen dead guys, and they won't mess with the dogs.
He's just sitting there.
Yeah.
All right, one last story. This is in England. A family were stunned to find a fox with just two legs in their garden.
A fox?
Yeah. Now, listen, I saw a picture of this thing. It only has its front two legs. It does a handstand.
No way.
Essentially.
Freaking you out, aren't I?
It's crazy,
I
man.
I look like a little furry man, don't I?
Well, you've got really strong arms.
I know I do.
Phil and Jane Carter from...
I do reverse curls and preacher bench.
Phil and Jane Carter from Lexton in Derbyshire often get visited by foxes, and this one stayed for about 45 minutes. Mr. Carter said, my wife shouted, quick, grab your phone. We've got a two-legged fox on the lawn.
I mean, it looks like a reverse wallaby, essentially.
Yeah.
He said We had about 5 minutes of it going around the lawn, smelling and picking up some meat, and then it went like a rocket. Mm. Do you often go and pick up some strange in the wallaby community?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They're like, why don't we go to my apartment?
Yeah.
Look at my etchings.
Your etchings?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. A spokesperson for Derbyshire Wildlife Trust said that we've never seen anything like this in the wild before, but the animal looks relatively healthy and appears to have adapted to life on two legs.
Using the tail as a counterbalance.
Yeah, yeah. It's awesome. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in Bizarre File for you this morning.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.